It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. This past week we've been working through 2 Peter chapter 3 and looking at this perspective of what it is to live in light of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter gives the Christian a lot of instruction there. We've been working through this passage this week, but we left off yesterday with the important question of why does the Lord let this sad world continue? Oftentimes I will hear people who really attack Christianity, and a lot of atheists will use this too. Why does such a good God let all this misery go forward? Why does he let all these bad things happen, and so on and so on? Well, I think we have the really clear answer to that question here in 2 Peter chapter 3, where in light of all the struggle, in light of all the bad things going on, here he says in verse 8, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So Peter sets forth the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ has not come yet. He's not slow in giving the promise to his people. He's not slow in giving them the heavenly inheritance and giving them the land and giving them the blessings. But things are not in our timing, but God's timing, he says. From our perspective, the difference of one day and 1,000 years is great, but Peter says not with God. All things past, present, and future are set before him, and a delay of over 1,000 years is like a day in his sight. What seems long to us is irrelevant to him. The main reason for this, and this is what Peter is saying, is because he is a long-suffering God toward us. He's not slow in giving the promise, which is eternal life, as though it may seem that eternal life is slow in coming. So as believers, we've been given all things in him. Christ has shed his blood for us. We belong to him. Nothing, Jesus says, can snatch one of his own from his hand. But consider how long-suffering God is. He is giving us more time to advance in knowledge and in holiness, to trust in him, to abound in good works, to fulfill the tasks he has given us to do. That's an amazing thought. But most of all, verse 15 of 2 Peter 3 tells us to bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. He's still planting. He's still building his church. Imagine that lost soul out there now, in which the Lord's patience will result in their eternal salvation. We know that Matthew 24 tells us that all of the elect must come in, and then the end will come. Well, the natural conclusion to that then, if the end has not come, that means that God still has some of his people out there to bring into his kingdom. His elect are still out there. And they, some of them have not yet come to Christ. And that is why the world is still here. And that, by the way, is why the idea of a secret rapture of the church is wrong. The whole mission of the church is to spread the gospel message so that those who are out there who have not yet come can hear the message and come in. If the church is not here proclaiming the gospel, there's no reason for it to go forward. It's a really bad teaching, a really wrong teaching. It's not a biblical teaching. It came out of the Scofield reference Bible and notes or whatever. The church has to be here because the gospel has to be preached right up until the end. And he's using his church to call the whole world to repentance. The church is to call everyone to repentance and faith in Christ. And the context of 2 Peter 3 is that now is a time of mercy, even though there are these mockers who are mocking everything about Christianity. And the Lord says they willfully forget of what happened to the world that then was. It was deluged and destroyed, the world in the days of Noah. And Peter says it's going to happen in the same way. The same way, only this time it will be with fire and not water. So just as Noah was a preacher of righteousness to the wicked people of his day, the world that then was, it took a period of time to build the ark, a period in which people were called to repentance. That is what Genesis 6:3 says. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. What does that mean? It means that the world, from the time God proclaimed that until the flood, there was 120 years. The time period that Noah was given to be a preacher of righteousness to that generation. And God has raised up all these preachers in our day and in our world and in our time who are put all over the face of the map. Have you ever thought that in every city, well, close to every city, there is a church, there's a beacon of light where you will find a church and the gospel being preached? God has put his witness all over the world, and there's no excuse. He's evangelizing the nations. The gospel's going out to the ends of the earth. And God is saying through the church today, turn, turn. Why should you die in your iniquity? Turn to Jesus Christ before it's too late. Believe in him, because Jesus is coming and he will judge the living and the dead. And you see, now is the time of mercy for people to turn from their sin and come to Jesus as the way of escape. But that day, my friends, is rapidly coming to an end. That is the message of 2 Peter. Noah and his family were left there until the final judgment of that world. And think about this. If the Bible says you want to know what that day is going to be like, go back and look to the days of Noah. Noah wasn't raptured out. Noah was there to the end. Noah was there till the day God shut the ark door and then it rained. The church will be here proclaiming the news of faith in Christ until the end, and then Jesus will come and it will be over. Noah was a preacher of righteousness to those people, pleading with them to come to Christ, to turn, to come into the ark. Likewise in our day, the message of the church, and I know this is the great offense today, it's the stumbling block to so many. It's the doctrine of hell. And the great message of the church is you can escape all this. Come to the Lord Jesus. We even call these mockers. Come. That's why we must be here until the end. For in the day of judgment will come when no one expects it. That is the whole message of the Bible. It will come as a thief in the night. But you see, the gospel in this is so very clear, because there's one more aspect about the days of Noah that Peter considers. We read in chapter 2, verse 5, "And God did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." You see, Noah and his family had a covering. They entered the ark, a means of salvation by which they rode on the floodwaters of the wrath of God Almighty. Likewise, Christians are not appointed to judgment, but to salvation like Noah. As the ark hid Noah and his family, so also, and here's the glorious news about all this for the Christian, on judgment day, the believer will be found hidden in Christ, covered in his robes of righteousness, never to face God's eternal wrath. And it says in verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." It will come as a thief in the night means, dear friend, it will come when no one expects it. So listen to 1 Thessalonians 5. "Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Interesting. While people are saying peace and safety, those are the mockers of our text. Destruction will come on them suddenly. And then it says this to Christians, but you are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Notice we're still here, by the way. We're still here right up until the last day. When the day of the Lord comes, that's it. As Noah was shut into the ark, the rain began to fall, and it fell until it drowned all the people of that day. So also, those who believe in Jesus Christ will be hid in his righteousness on that day. But the unbelieving scoffers, and this is what we read in 2 Peter 3, and this is what we read in the book of Revelation, will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. What will happen to this world? The heavens and the earth as we know it will be cleansed, recreated, everything made whole by fire, everything will be laid bare, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So Peter has us consider that this week. Imagine all these people who do not believe in Jesus, never anticipating the coming day of the Lord, never anticipating it, and all of a sudden, it happens. Dear friend, we have to come to Christ. We have to believe in Jesus. And he calls the Christian in this wait to live worthy of your calling. You've been established in the truth. We are not of those who shrink back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And so Peter asks, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look for and hastening the coming day of God. Are you prepared, dear friend, to meet this God? Tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We're always thankful that you tune in to our radio program. We feel it as a tremendous privilege to be able to do these each and every week. We do give you a sincere invite to join us for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church. We also offer this program to encourage those who do not have church homes to join a faithful church where the gospel is preached. Our services start at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. And of course, the phone number is 360-318-0429. We would always love to hear from you. Letters, notes, emails, please send them to us. And hopefully we can talk more about our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.